ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, my very dear friend Hatim al-Harith Abdi Salam from Oman asked me to do a series on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in nature, and inshallah this is the first of them. Now, I want to begin by stating a certain principle, and that principle is the difference between how and why. How and why. I want you to hold that in your mind while I tell you about one of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we'll come back to this. The creature of Allah that I want to tell you about is what is called the Namib desert beetle. It's a desert beetle, Stenocara gracilipes, which is the zoological name, also known as the fog stand beetle, is a species of beetle that is native to the Namib desert of southern Africa. This is one of the most arid areas of the world, receiving only 1.4 centimeters of rain per year, which is half an inch per year. The beetle is able to survive by collecting water on its bumpy back surface from early morning fogs. To drink water, this beetle stands on a small ridge of sand, using its long spindly legs, facing into the breeze with its body angled at 45 degrees. So the hind legs are longer and it raises up the hind legs and it's standing with its head down. The head faces upwind and its stiff, bumpy outer wings are spread against the damp breeze. Minute water droplets from the fog gather on its wings. There the droplets stick to the hydrophilic, which is water-loving bumps, which are surrounded by waxy hydrophobic troughs. Drops flatten as they make contact with the hydrophilic surfaces, preventing them from being blown away by the wind and providing a surface for other droplets to attach. Accumulation continues until the combined droplet weight overcomes the water's electrostatic attraction to the bumps, as well as any opposing force of the wind. In a 30 kilometer an hour breeze, such a droplet would stick to the wing until it grows to roughly 5 mm in diameter. At that point, it will roll down the beetle's back to its mouth parts. There are actually ridges on the back, which like irrigation channels, which draw the water down towards the mouth parts of the beetle. Interestingly, researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, have emulated this capability by creating a textured surface that combines alternating hydrophobic and hydrophilic materials. Potential uses include extracting moisture from the air and creating fog-free windows and mirrors. A company called NBD Nano is attempting to commercialize this technology. Lately, it has also been shown that these beetles may also obtain water from dew, that is, from humid air itself without the fog. Those of you who are deeply impressed by my knowledge of science and technology may rest assured I am just reading out from Wikipedia. Now, the point is that why did I mention this? First of all, because a beetle. What is a beetle? A beetle is that which you stamp on when you see it on the road. Not that you should do it, but this is almost a typical human reaction to any insect, which is to kill it. We are a species which is very peculiar because what we don't realize, or we don't want to realize, is that our survival depends on insects and not vice versa. If all the insects disappeared from the earth, then the human race would cease to exist. But if the human race disappeared from the earth, then insects would thrive and prosper as they have been doing for billions of years and before human beings ever walked on the earth. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because despite the fact that we treat insects with the contempt, the fact is that insects are critical to our survival. Now, I began this by saying that we need to differentiate between how and why. It's very important to differentiate between how and why, because this is the, in my view, the single biggest and most fundamental confusion that people who are atheists and people who are evolutionists, if I may use the term, or Darwinists, if I may use that term, that's the confusion that they live in, which is the inability or rather I should say the unwillingness to recognize the Creator, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khudrat, Allah's hand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability and His plan in creating all that He created. And that is this confusion between how and why. Let me give you an example. If you ask these people, for example, about the same beetle and say, tell me, why does the beetle do this? Why does it stand in the air this way? And they will say, well, you know, it has to drink water. But if you ask them to drink water, what does the beetle do? They will tell you the same thing, to stand up in the air like this, using its legs and its wings to trap the air. So, but that is really an answer to the question, how does it do it? Which is by standing in the air, standing on the sand with its body angled in the air, and not why does it do that. We seem to confuse the why and the how. Let me give you another example. When you ask people, why do earthquakes happen? What do they tell you? The question you asked was, why do they happen? They will tell you they happen because tectonic plates ride up one on the other, and that's what creates earthquakes. Okay, very nice. Then you change the question. You say, how do earthquakes happen? And they will tell you tectonic plates ride up on one another, and that is how earthquakes happen. Then you say, ask them, no, hold on. I asked you, why do earthquakes happen? And you are telling me how earthquakes happen. How can the two be the same? How can why and how be the same? Because if you are telling me that the answer to the question, how do earthquakes happen, that is the method by which they happen, the way in which they happen. Why do they happen is the reason they happen. How can the reason and the method have the same answer? It's like, for example, if I ask you, when you say you invite me to your house and you know you cook this nice meal, and I ask you, how did you cook this particular thing, right? Maybe you cooked whatever it was, some dish. I ask you, how did you cook this? You're going to give me the recipe, right? Now, this is how you make this biryani or whatever it was. This is how you make this thing. If I ask you the same question, I say, why did you make this? And if you tell me, get good meat and good rice and wash the pot and put it in it and put this seasoning and those spices, I would have to tell you, hold on, I'm not asking you for the recipe of this thing. I'm asking you, why did you do it? Now, why is a question which is referring to the reason you did it, not how you did it. It's not to say that the how is not important. The recipe is important. If you want to cook the thing, you need to know how to cook it. But that's not the reason you cooked it. The reason you cooked it was because you wanted to honor a friend, you wanted to give something, show you cared and you show your concern, and so on and so forth, which is a different thing from how you do that thing. Now bring it back to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it to the beetle, take it to anything else which we talk about, and ask the same question and say, why does this thing do this? Now, this, we are not talking about the how. We know the how. The how is important. We're not denying that. But we're asking, why does it happen? I submit to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why it happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He created, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He created the heavens and the earth. And in the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the day and the night, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the day and the night, there are signs for people of intelligence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He created these things so that we look at these things and we recognize the hand of the Creator. We recognize the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recognize His mercy. We recognize His compassion. The fact that He takes care of that which He created. He doesn't leave it to simply, you know, perish. That He creates something and He makes sure that that thing has the ability to survive. Number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates things in places that you could not even dream of. The Namib Desert is one, which is an environment which is so hostile to life, which is so dry, which is so difficult to live in. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates living creatures in it. And this beetle is by no means the only one. There are plenty more. There are different kinds of snakes, and there are different kinds of lizards, and so on, all of which live in that desert. And again, the same question is this: why does that happen? Why? What is the need to create all of these creatures to live in a place which is completely hostile to life? I can talk to you about that, and we'll talk to you about different environments which are even more hostile, but which still support life. And the question again to ask you again and again is, why does this happen? And it happens because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, my word for it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing His creatures, He's showing His khudrat, and His ability to create. And He wants us to look at it, to recognize him, and to worship Him. And that is the whole issue of La ilaha illallah. When we talk about the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we look at His creatures and we praise Him, and we acknowledge the fact that He is also our Creator. Number one. Number two is that this gives us a great reliance in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which takes away our stress, which takes away our fears of perishing and dying of starvation, all kinds of stuff that we burden ourselves with. But we say, look, this is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He takes care of a beetle in the Namib Desert, He will take care of you and me. What is the difference between the beetle and us? The beetle worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati ma fi al-ard. Allah said everything in the heavens and the earth praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except those jinn and those men and people who choose not to do that. So it's our choice. Do we want to be part of the great creation which worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we want to stand out on the basis of our disobedience? This is the key thing. You want to differentiate, do not differentiate on the basis of evil. Differentiate on the basis of good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see His signs and to recognize them and to praise Him and to glorify Him on the basis of those signs. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.